Hi, I'm Nick Martin, site editor for Search Server Virtualization, and you're listening to the This Week in Virtualization podcast. This week, I'm joined in the studio by Search VMware site editor, Tom Wallet.
Hi, Nick. How you doing?
And on the phone from Norway, I'm happy to be talking with Christian Mann, chief consultant at Every Consulting. So some of our listeners might know Christian from his blog, vninja.net. Christian, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I guess I could. There isn't that much to say, though. I'm your average VMware consultant working out of Norway with our enterprise customers there, as well as doing blogging on VNinja, like you said. I'm also one of the VMware V-experts and have been for, I guess this is the fourth year running now, so... I mainly work on VMware-based solutions and consult around that, and that's pretty much it, I guess.
Great. Well, I'm happy you're here joining us. So we'll get right into it. In early June, Fletcher Coquette, I think I'm pronouncing that right, posted an interesting photo on his Twitter account, and it appeared to depict some sort of VMware advertisement for something called Marvin, with text that read something along the lines of introducing the world's first 100% VMware-powered hyper-converged infrastructure appliance. So, Christian, you saw this photo and you dug a little deeper. So, can you tell us what you found?
I saw the photo when it was posted, and I thought that I need to try to figure out what's going on here. And we had seen some speculation earlier about VMware doing some kind of converged infrastructure thing in alliance with EMC. So I started looking for trademarks and copyright stuff and see if I could find anything that would seem to be a fit to the Marvin thing that used to be known as Project Mystic, I guess. And that's where I found the registered trademark that VMware actually registered back in January, I think, where it states that Marvin is a registered trademark for computer hardware for virtualization. Compute hardware enabling users to manage virtual computing resources that include network and data storage, which basically is a one-sentence description of a converged infrastructure solution. So, and that's kind of got the ball rolling a bit, and I started speculating on what this might be, because I don't have any inside knowledge about this at all. I haven't been given any non-disclosure briefings on it or been involved in it in any way. So the information I was able to find and the speculations I did based on that is purely that. It's speculation based on one small photo posted on Twitter, and it kind of got rolling from there.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, as you mentioned, we're still obviously speculating about what this could be. And VMware is notoriously tight-lipped about this kind of stuff. So I also saw that there was some speculation about what Marvin could mean or whether it was an acronym. What did you see along those lines?
I think it's an acronym. I've actually tried to figure out what it might be without really knowing, to be honest. But
yeah.
Let me see if I can find my own... I wrote something about it, that considering what I thought it might actually stand for, but I'm having a little bit of problem finding it right now.
Sure, no problem.
Actually, I'm calling it up on your website right now. So there was, let's see. Oh, I think this is Alaric Davies who wrote something something reference virtual infrastructure node. And I think you wrote modular array of virtualization infrastructure nodes. Oh, no, that was Kevin Kelling. Oh, yours was modular automated rackable virtual infrastructure node.
Right. Okay. So I have no idea if anyone has that right, to be honest. But I'm betting on my own bet. So, but then again, I have problems finding it myself, so I couldn't even remember what my suggestion was. So,
Nick,
so there you go.
Nick did a little more digging right before we came into the podcast, and I think he found something that was a little more tantalizing in the VMworld sessions.
What are your thoughts on, if this is a hyper-converged appliance, what are your thoughts on whether this is a good or bad move for VMware, and what could it really mean for the long term?
I don't think VMware itself is going into the hardware part of this. As far as I've been able to kind of figure out via the connections I do have, without there being any prior knowledge, to be honest, I think this is more of a specification that VMware will be working with several different vendors, OEMs, on providing sort of something on along the lines of the AGL list that like VMware has for vSphere. I think they'll be working with the OEMs and packaging this as a hardware appliance you could buy, possibly with Dell, HP, EMC, and other vendors' hardware as the delivery mechanism. But that's all the hardware would be. That would be a delivery platform for the actual software-defined, what they might call it, Marvin appliance, once it's available as a purchasable option. So there's been a lot of speculation that VMware itself is moving into providing hardware, and certainly they could do that through the EMC mothership, since they do provide hardware already. But I don't think that's what VMware wants to be doing here. I think this is more of a standardized platform for delivering the hyperconverged appliance that they want to deliver to the market.
Right. So I was happened to be on the VMware website this morning, digging around, looking at the VMworld sessions, and trying to build my schedule and find some interesting sessions to recommend. And I came across one that I thought was kind of interesting, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it. It's called Simplify/Automate IaaS Workload Deployment with VMware Powered Converged Infrastructure. So we can't say for sure that this session will be about the new converged product that VMware might be calling Marvin. And they're already collaborating with a few other companies on converged infrastructure products, like you mentioned Dell and VCE. But this sounds a little bit different, and it's actually by two VMware employees. And they're also introducing the new acronym, or at least one that I haven't heard before, VMCI. So I'm curious, it sounds like they might have let the cat out of the bag a little bit with listing this session. Had you seen that, and what are your thoughts on it?
No, I'm currently on vacation, so I haven't really been able to have a look at the VMworld sessions. They were pretty much, the schedule builder was announced today or yesterday, right? So
yeah,
I haven't really been able to have a look at that. But it does sound like something that might be the basis of what Marvin might be. And then again, as is custom with VMware, they're likely to actually announce this at VMworld anyway, so it would make sense to have some sessions around it. But then again, trying to name them in a way that it might not be obviously available or obvious to everyone that that's actually what the session is about. So it'll be interesting to see how this works out and how everyone reacts to it once it's available. But I'm pretty certain that this is an actual product that will be announced. And that it will be announced during VMworld, and it won't be a specific vendor providing all of the hardware here. It might be a modular or an OEM-based system where you can buy it with one SKU from HP or Dell or probably also Supermicro, which might be interesting for those looking into the solutions that Nutanix has, which Nutanix also announced that they're going to provide Nutanix nodes based on Dell hardware. So things might be shifting in both directions in that way, and Nutanix and VMware looks like they're really heading down the same road and perhaps even being pretty fierce competitors down the line.
Right. Well, it's a rumor that certainly seems to have some legs. So I guess we'll definitely have to wait and see what happens at VMworld. Christian, I know you have to get going, but I want to thank you for joining us. Sure. Christian Mann is the chief consultant at Every Consulting, and he runs the blog vninja.net. Thanks, Christian.
Anytime. No problem.
Thanks, Christian.
So there's been plenty of speculation on what this could be and what it could mean for VMware. We heard Christian's view, but there are a lot of other experts out there that have their opinions on whether this is a good thing for VMware and what they think of it. So, Tom, you actually polled a bunch of people, experts, what did you find?
Well, most of the people I talked to are contributors to Search VMware, and a few of the other experts that I'll lean on for their point of view. And most people think this is a good play for VMware because you're sort of consolidating everything. You know, you've got VMware with their software-defined data center, you know, they're on that path to virtualize everything. So now they've got the server virtualization, they've got the storage virtualization with vSAN, and now they're also bringing in NSX for the network virtualization. So most people think it's a good idea because you're simplifying things almost in the way that Google will work with phone manufacturers, and when a new version of Android is released, you are going to get the latest and greatest, and you can know that it's been tested fairly thoroughly by Google. But when these upgrades come down the pike, if you don't have the sort of this converged infrastructure, you've got to do a lot of testing and make sure that everything is working properly before you bring it into production. With this VMware system, if it does materialize, you're going to alleviate a lot of doubt, and it's been looked at somewhat thoroughly by from the VMware side of things, instead of having disparate pieces, and you're like, okay, hopefully the networking piece is going to work. Hopefully storage is going to work. You know, you're going to burn a lot of calories trying to make sure everything is functioning properly, because you don't want any surprises. One of our contributors said that this he actually doesn't like the idea because you're going to get locked into the system that comes from VMware, and when the big upgrade is going to be released, they may decide to raise the price. Depending on how popular this this hardware gets, you may be locked in and almost beholden to VMware for future upgrades. So, but on the most part, people seem to think it's a good idea because you are streamlining things a little bit, and with the cloud coming into play a little bit more, you need to make sure all your pieces are thoroughly tested and working properly, especially once you go outside your own data center.
Yeah. So let's switch gears a little bit. And instead of just focusing on Marvin and their converged infrastructure that may or may not be happening, let's talk a little bit about what else we think might be showing up at VMworld this time around. First, to start us off, I think it was 2 weeks ago now, VMware announced a vSphere open beta, which took some people by surprise.
Right. Yeah, on June 30th, VMware announced that they were going to make an open beta for vSphere, which I believe they haven't done before. They've done open betas for other things like vSAN, but they haven't done it with vSphere before, and you still have to sign a non-disclosure agreement to play with the bits, as they like to say. But they're bringing a wider audience in to kick the tires on this release, and a few people have speculated that's because certain things that have come out, people haven't been too thrilled by.
Are we thinking like SSO?
Well, there's SSO, which they had to completely scrap and change, was it vSphere 5.1, was that when that was
right.
introduced? And then they came out with a new version that wasn't, I believe, dependent on a database in 5.5. But we're also talking about the vSphere web client, which there's been a lot of complaints about that. People don't want the fat client to disappear, but vSphere web client has these certain features that you can't manage from the fat client, like the vSAN, which, you know, it that gathers up all your storage and all your separate hosts and brings it into one huge data store. So if you want to do vSAN, you have to use the web client. So a few people I talked to, they're saying that this is one way of VMware saying, all right, we need more input, because with the closed beta, you're a lot of times you're only getting the viewpoint of, say, like an instructor or a trainer. They don't quite have the same point of view as somebody who works in a production environment. You know, they're going to come across a few more scenarios that a trainer wants certain things, you know, to set up their classrooms. Somebody that's working in a VMware shop is going to want something that's been a little more battle tested, and you know, want to make sure their VMs are working up to speed, and they're going to have all this, probably a lot more different combinations of hardware, which with a beta they're going to be able to test and make sure that that's working properly, or see if there's any kind of degradation in how things are working. So at least they've got more of a heads up. Okay, maybe vSphere 6 is not quite ready for us, but
yeah.
You know, it's
in fact. Sorry, I was gonna ask that. Now that we've seen a vSphere beta, obviously vSphere 6 is somewhere down the line. Do you think we'll see something like that at VMworld, or is it a little too soon?
Well, the I believe the usual release cycle for vSphere has been soon after VMworld. You know, Q4 is usually when it gets released, but a few people are saying that with the lateness of this beta, this is beta 2 actually, of vSphere, they're saying that, and I don't believe there's an, I believe it's still an open-ended beta, there's no cutoff for feedback yet.
Right.
So the speculation is that they are going to release it sometime in 2015, because another clue that we found was on the VMware blogs, vSphere 2015 was mentioned, not vSphere 6. So that's kind of a big indicator that it's not going to be ready at the end of the year. And there's maybe some, obviously with the NDA, a lot of people can't talk about what's in there, but a few things are leaking out, as is going to happen when you have a beta that's open to people.
Right, right. In fact, actually, one of the things that I haven't heard a whole lot back from people who have checked the beta yet, but one thing that I've heard might be coming in the future, based on some previous conversations I've had, is a web client that's not Flash-based, which would be a bit of a welcome change for many people.
That's a surprise to me.
As well as making sure the web client is compatible with things like Update Manager and SRM, which I've heard could be a problem in the past.
Well, you can't get into Update Manager from the web client, so you have to. That was one of the complaints. Is you know, there was the speed was one of the problems that people had with it. Like people who are trying to manage or get into systems around the world, they weren't sure if there was a problem with the connection or is it just because the web client is slow. And now I think part of the reason they're bringing the beta is because people are saying, don't go half we can do things in the fat client and half we can do things in the web client. Let us be able to do everything in the web client. Don't just give us something that's, people have used the term half-baked. Don't give us something that's not quite ready for prime time. Just give us something that has all the features that we're used to, because we'll switch if we have no choice. But don't, okay, I can't manage things after I've upgraded to a certain level because I need to go back into the fat client and make these changes that aren't accessible from the web client. So that's a lot of frustration from people, because they're assuming everything is in the client. If it's the client, it's the client, but it's not the full client that they're used to. So I haven't heard that about the Flash. I'm hearing people, they're like, okay, let's get into HTML5 because there are people who are on Linux and they are going to have to install a Windows installation just to be able to use the web client. That's not helping people, you know, with this quote-unquote universal client, which you can access from everything. You can't. You have to use Windows, and there's a lot of frustration from people on that end. So I think they're bringing in the beta to maybe get people more familiar with it. But I'm interested to see what they're going to, if there's any significant change, at least in terms of speed with the client, because that's been a perennial complaint from people.
Yeah. And as is the case in every VM world, I'm sure we'll hear a whole slew of new products or maybe just, updates on current products. There are a few other things I'm going to be watching for, at least. The first being the enterprise mobility stuff. Colin Steele recently, and in fact we broadcast his conversation with Kit Colbert about what is in store for them, and Kit sort of alluded to some possible acquisitions and definitely some major changes in that line of products. I'm also interested in what they're going to be doing with their vCloud to make it more competitive, because as I talked about in the last podcast, they're definitely quite a ways behind Amazon, Azure, even Google right now. And then the final thing that I think they really need to sort of figure out is NSX. At the recent VMUG in Boston, I chatted briefly with someone who said his company tried out NSX and ended up dumping it because the networking folks weren't really comfortable with it. And you heard this the same.
Yeah, I was in that the Boston VMUG that they had recently. It was in June, I believe.
Right.
They asked an audience. I think they had about 700 people attending, and Steve Athanas, who runs the Boston VMUG, was asking, or actually it was somebody else.
It was Scott Lowe.
Scott Lowe, sorry, yeah. He asked if anybody was using NSX, and yeah, somebody raised their hand and said, yes, we had it. And it was like the emphasis on the word had it. I think he had mentioned something, since you talked to the person who mentioned it, maybe you've got a little more insight, but I believe he said something about SQL databases not working well with NSX, or maybe I didn't hear him too clearly.
I don't specifically remember that, but that certainly could have been the case. Our conversation mostly revolved around the culture of the networking team not being really comfortable with the VMware product versus, say, something from Cisco that they're more used to. VMware definitely has to do something to make sure they bring the networking folks into a larger conversation at VMworld. And if they pitch their NSX sessions and product to just straight virtualization folks, then they're going to have a hard time getting everyone on board. That's my thought, at least.
Yeah, I think people, like anything, there's a little bit of trepidation. This is a new area for VMware, and also, like you mentioned, with the vCloud hybrid service, I've gone to a lot of sessions where we're based in Boston here. I go to a lot of the Boston VMUGs, and they will, before a lot of these discussions about VCHS, they'll ask if anybody's using the cloud. And I think I've seen in all these sessions maybe one hand go up.
a lot of crickets there.
Yeah. They're like, thank you for your service is usually what the response is. But we're hearing cloud, but people are still interested in the nuts and bolts. The last Boston VMUG, I had gone to a session on Horizon 6, but I saw later on that the session on vSphere performance was packed. And the Horizon 6, there was maybe 15, 20 people in there, and then the other session probably had at least 100 people sitting in there because they, you know, that's the bread and butter for these administrators is how to make sure your system's running and smoothly and everything is just going to go as is. And I don't think they're thinking outside the data center right now. That's just been my experience. Maybe it is for bigger shops, but a lot of these SMBs, it's, you know, I want my VMs running properly and at a great speed. And what do I need to do to make sure that's possible? So,
Right. Well, the other thing I wanted to do with this podcast today is also talk about some interesting sessions that I saw when I was working on the schedule builder for VMworld 2014, and maybe give some of our listeners some recommendations on what might be interesting to check out. So I've got a list. I sort of approach this in a different way that someone, an IT pro might, and in that I'm interested in what's new. So I guess the headliners that I'm looking for are, you know, tech previews and what's next and all that kind of stuff. So some of the ones that I thought might be interesting was what's new and what's next in vCenter Operations Management Suite and Log Insight. I went to the vCenter Operations Management session last year. And they talked a lot about some interesting things and how Log Insight should integrate. So now I'm interested to find out how it will integrate and whether the features that they hoped for or talked about will actually come true. And the what's next always grabs my attention because we're always interested in what they have in store. Let's see. There's a what's new in vSphere, which might give a little bit of clue to maybe they'll release something, or at least maybe they'll talk about releasing something later.
I'm sure they're gonna talk about it. I'd be surprised if that wasn't a keynote, because from what I understand, there's a few. They've announced the vVols, which it's too bad Christian still isn't on the line because he could educate us on that. But I guess that's going to make things easier for storage in VMs. But from what I've been seeing in a few other places, what has been in technical sessions a few times is the multi-fault tolerance, multi-vCPU fault tolerance. And that, from what everybody's saying, is going to be a complete game changer. And then one of the clues that that may be making an appearance is because vCenter Heartbeat, it just reached end of life in June, and what are you going to use to, your vCenter servers? What are you going to use to help those keep running? And so they're saying that this fault tolerance for vCPUs may be what may be announced in that that next version of vSphere, whether it's vSphere 6, or they're going to pull a Microsoft where they start changing, instead of going up to the next version, they're going to call it 2015. Who knows? It'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah. Another interesting session, or one that I thought might be interesting, was advanced topics and future directions in network virtualization with NXX. So there could be something interesting there about what they have in store for it. And one that I thought was also interesting and sort of alludes to something that might be new is NSX certification, the next step in your networking career. So that clearly sounds like it's aimed at networking professionals rather I suppose a virtualization, server virtualization professional could look to advance his career with an NSX certification.
Yeah, I believe isn't that one of the certification tracks, maybe, in networking? Because earlier this year, it seems like ages ago, but they've added a cloud track as well to the certifications in VMware. So that makes sense to bring that on board.
Yeah. My other strategy for picking sessions, which may or may not be the right strategy, is to base it on the speaker, which I found can be helpful sometimes. So one that got my attention was when mobile met desktop, AirWatch and Horizon Vision and integration strategy with Kit Colbert. So we've heard from Kit before, and he's a very good speaker. And if he has anything in store in terms of acquisitions or how products will integrate. I'm sure this would be the session to check out.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, there's almost 500 sessions to choose from. This is going to be my first time going to VMworld. I've only been on the VMware scene for about a year now, so it's quite daunting. A lot of times when I go to these local events, there's 15 or 20 things to choose from. There's 500 things to choose from, and then there's all the extra things after hours type of stuff. So it's going to be great. 225 exhibitors, 658 speakers. That's, yeah, you've really got to pick and choose carefully to see what's out there. So it's looking like a really really great another great VMworld. No limits, I guess, is what they're using for their catchphrase this year.
Yeah. For people who have been to VMworlds in the past, you've seen or heard that one of the before he left, one of the best speakers to attend a session with was Steve Herrod, who was, of course, their CTO. And I just noticed this morning that actually he has a session at this year's VMworld, not as VMware CTO, but as a managing director for General Catalyst, the new company that he's working with. I'm not sure if this is what this session will be about exactly. The title is Snowden, Target, and Mt. Gox Change the World, Rethinking Data Privacy, Security, and Protection. I'm not sure exactly where he's going to go with that, but Steve is always a good speaker and should be worth at least a quick look. And there's two others that I want to mention that are just sound like interesting sessions that would be at the least fun to go to. The first one is New Kids on the Storage Block, File and Share, Lessons in Storage and Virtualization, which is a panel discussion with representatives from some storage vendors and is moderated by Howard Marks, who I saw his sessions at Interop, and they were very, very good. And the other one is the vExpert Storage Game Show, which will be run, moderated in some way by John Troyer. And it looks, it's going to be a sort of a Jeopardy-style, Q&A or buzz-in type game. It sounds, I guess, interesting to say the least.
Well, I think you may have not mentioned that we also have the Best of VMworld.
How could I forget?
Search server virtualization. So I guess the best products, as voted by the experts out there, the VMware users, are going to go to search server virtualization, and there's a form that they can fill out to vote for their pick for the
to nominate their product. Yeah,
right. So that's
exactly. Our judges will be picking the best product displayed at the show in 7 categories plus a best of show. And we'll announce those winners on the show floor. I believe it'll be Tuesday. I don't think we have an exact date yet, but you can check out our website when that comes closer and find out where it's going to be. Actually, we have plans to broadcast from the show floor, which by that time we should have winners for the Best of VMworld Awards.
Do you have the deadline on when submissions can be submitted on that?
Yeah, the deadline is the end of this month, end of July. I believe it's the 30th. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a submission to send in, don't delay. You can find the link right on our website, searchservervirtualization.com.
Also on searchvmware.com. We've got on both places.
Exactly. We like to make sure everyone can find it. So with that, I think we'll wrap it up. I would say our next show will be, like I mentioned, from the show floor. We'll be talking about what's happening at VMworld, what they have announced. No more speculation at that point. Best of VMworld award winners, and the general feel of the conference. So, Tom, I want to thank you very much for joining me here today, sharing your insights and opinions on what's been going on.
Oh, thanks, Nick. Yeah, it was a great time. I'm looking forward to going to VMworld and talking to everybody there. There's only going to be about, 25,000 people to...
give or take.
So it should be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Well, I'm Nick Martin for Search Server Virtualization, and thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed the show, you can subscribe on iTunes. And don't forget to join us next month, when we plan to broadcast from the show floor at VMworld in San Francisco.